time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you've been with us the past few days, as we've been looking through Romans chapter 3 on Abounding Grace, you know that we have been pressed to see things by nature about our own natures that we typically do not want to see nor reckon with. But God demands that we understand and that we see this, so then in turn we would see how great and beautiful this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is and what He did for sinners as vile and as rotten as we are. And you know, it's just sad today, for instance, a song like Amazing Grace, which once was such a popular and loved song by so many, where it says it saved a wretch like me. People don't even want to say that anymore. People don't want to define sin as sin anymore, but they've used all these different words to explain it away as sort of a mistake or sort of a propensity to do things that just aren't nice. Paul called a spade a spade. And that is what is here before us in Romans chapter 3. When we understand it this way, we see how glorious the gospel is. And so in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul sets before us the reality of our sinful natures, really giving us God's perspective by stringing together these Old Testament quotes. And he says in Romans 3 verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they've practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." My friends, the question is, and this is such a pressing question, so many people in our day don't want to hear the word of the Lord. "The Lord has thus just spoken. Thus saith the Lord," as the Old Testament prophets would say. This is the Lord's description of who we are. Do we hear? We pick up yesterday with where we left off. We looked at there's none righteous, there's none who understands, the mind is darkened, there's none who seeks, so that even our free wills are only inclined towards sin, so we would never seek a holy and just God. All have turned, all have become unprofitable, and then we pick up here. There's none who does good, no, not one. That is taken from Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. And there, what we read is, "There's not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." What's he speaking of here? God's saying, "Look, I see what's going on behind the masks. Amidst all the masks of outward righteousness and what we think are just and good people, God says he sees, and there's not one on the earth who does good and does not sin." God sees how we treat one another, and that really becomes the focus. This first section of Romans 3 is really a relationship. What's our relationship to God? The second is, what's our relationship to our neighbors? And so God sees the true reality in our hearts. Do you know what follows that verse in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20? "There's not a just man in earth who does good and does not sin." This is what follows. "Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." So in other words, don't give ear to how people talk about others in front of you in gossip and in slander. Why? Because if they are belittling someone else right in front of you behind their back, they're going to do the same thing to you. And you have done it yourself. Now this is in direct correlation to what follows here Romans chapter 3, where he said there's none who does good, no, not one. We're looking at specifically our relationship to our neighbors now. This is what we read. "Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they've practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." That's like snakes' venom. "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known." And then the capstone to it all, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." With their open throats, he says, they spew words of death. Under their lips are venom striking at their neighbors. Their mouths are full of cursing and an interesting bitterness, bitterness toward their fellow humans. They're always tearing down this person and that person in bitter jealousy. They quickly murder in the heart, if not physically. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and they do not know peace. There is no fear of God. He's saying, look, this is us by nature. This is me by nature. Pastor Chris Gordon, he's saying, you act like vipers by nature to one another, and with no fear under his son, you think you won't be accountable. Look, I say this very boldly. I've seen this in my years of ministry. This worst sort of slander and attack and mouths full of cursing and bitterness, it's among even those people who claim to be Christians as they bite and devour one another. And that's the very thing that James warns against. Gossip, slander, and just attack. And this is God's charge. Are we any better than they? That is, Who is he talking about? Us by nature. Are we the religious people by nature any better than the pagans in Romans chapter 1? There are always those who live for this, he says. They live for conflict and they don't want to solve anything. They feed off the bitterness and they can never figure out why they are in misery. And God is saying, this is what I see. This is the reality of the whole human race. And so in this first part of Romans, is there anyone who could say, well, I'm not that bad? We're not receiving the revelation of the Lord. That's what it comes down to. We're not hearing his voice. The whole point of all of this comes to us tonight in verses 19 and 20. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So he says, look, the law condemns all of this. And you're under the law. And the point is by nature. You're under it. You're accountable to God's law. And every week his law searches us. It says guilty. For what purpose? That every mouth would be stopped before God. All are guilty. All have become guilty before God as children of Adam. And he concludes this with the greatest problem posed to all humanity. Please hear this today and we'll get to the good news. No one will be justified by the law. The law was given to show forth our sin. Not only are we in this horrible predicament, but nothing we can do can get us out. The wrath of God looms over every head of the child of Adam. And that is what this our God sees. He gave his law to expose it. And yet, no one today can say in themselves, well then, I will stop being like this. I'll just stop sinning. I'll get my life together and please God. God says, this is your predicament. This is how I view things. And here's the real problem. You're stuck. You have plunged yourself into ruin in Adam, and you yourselves can do nothing about it. You do not understand. You do not seek me. You all have turned aside. You do no good, and you perfectly hate me and your neighbors. That's the reality of all the human race by nature. And there's no ability to stop this ruin and say, well, I will now start honoring God and his law. God says emphatically, by the works of the law, by trying to get your life together and clean up what I've described, no one will be justified. You can't. You don't have a righteousness, says the Lord, that I will accept. This is the worst possible description given in the Bible. What do you feel when you hear this? Maybe you're traveling on the road today. Maybe you're listening in your homes. What do you feel? This is God's description. I pray there's some emotion after hearing this. If there's nothing, I'm very concerned for your soul. Doesn't this description raise to you the least bit of emotion? You freshly heard God tell you today what he sees in you by nature, and he must judge such things. Your cry should be, what then shall we do? If this is God's last word, we would go to hell. But see, now we're prepared to hear the gospel. And this is why the gospel has lost impact today. Because the awful, horrible reality of breaking God's law in our sin is never set right before the gospel so that people see their great need for the gospel. Now we're ready to hear the gospel. Good news takes on a whole new meaning after hearing something like this. The next words in Romans are, but now. There is a way to be freed. There is a way of return. We are like sheep who have gone astray, but there is a return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls, Jesus. He's the subject of the rest of Romans. He's the centerpiece. He is that righteousness and way of escape that a sinner can have, so that in no way, in any more, will he be judged by his for his sins. He becomes, when he comes to Jesus, covered in his blood and righteousness, so that the Father sees him in the perfect garments of Christ. It's in his life that we are freed from what is described here in these verses. It's in him that we've learned to come, that we have nothing to offer, only our tears, and even those don't satisfy him. It is in Jesus alone that a righteousness is provided for us. The story of redemption starts here. And so the call then today is lift up your heads. The King of Glory comes in before us in Romans. It is his person and work that should overwhelm us with tearful joy as we see how much he loved unworthy sinners. Sinners like this, who were not righteous, who did not understand, who did not seek God, who constantly turned away from his Father, who have altogether become unprofitable, who are unworthy to the fullest extent, and yet their lives were worthy enough for this Jesus to shed his blood so that all of those who put their confidence and trust in him might not face his terrible face of wrath on that day, but the smiling face of acceptance in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is what the gospel is. The gospel is good news, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God. It is God's power to save. And so I want to leave you today after that really graphic description this week. I want to leave you with the words of what follows so that you would meditate on it and think about how a sinner is right in the eyes of God. He says in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed." That's a righteousness apart from my own obedience. "Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ." We'll look at that statement next week. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? You know then today that you go forth justified forever, acquitted, so that you will stand on that day completely covered in his blood and righteousness and warmly received into his heaven. We would love to have you join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Our worship service times are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., and on Wednesday nights we have classes that you might grow further in the faith. If you are more interested in these Bible studies, join us and give us a call, 318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.